rescue op. Save the dinosaurs from an island that's about to explode. What could go wrong?
Fallen Kingdom, Return Jurassic World, 1 minute at a time. I'm Brad.
I'm Dave.
And here we are back to discuss minute 71 of Fallen Kingdom. But before we get to that, David, heading over to Jurassic-pedia, I don't think we've hit the OG, the great man, the myth, the legend himself. I'm going to say John Hammond. There's a couple of middle names there that you can debate over which ones they actually are going off the films. But
John Parker, Alfred, Wilfred, Brian, Dumbledore, Hammond.
Well, if you pull Miracle from 13th Street or 31st Street or whatever it is in there, there'd be a Saint Nick in there as well. Basically, I just wanted to bring this article back to discuss the man himself. More so, what we know from the split. We're going to get some more backstory in this minute between Mills and Lockwood, which unfortunately is never really mentioned again, and it's a shame. But it appeared to have all happened over the moral implications of cloning. Mills is going to say later that it was an unholy act, or that Hammond thought it was an unholy act. Unfortunately, we don't. And it's a shame because this is all coming out of Fallen Kingdom, yet once we get to Dominion, it's not really proven that Maisie's a clone. She was grown as a fetus in a womb. Yes, that fetus may have had some genetic stuff done to it. I'd have to Google or wiki the definition of a clone, but I was under the impression that a clone would be something that's complete, like test tube baby, yeah. In a lab.
Well, the thing is, with cloning technology as it was in the 1990s, you still needed to in vitro the growing embryo. So it was, you after insemination within like the test tubes and all that, whatever, but it still actually needed and I believe that their understanding of cloning is still that way, which is why they needed the whatever it was, that plastics company that was making the artificial eggs, and they were inseminating these dinosaur embryos into unfertilized emu and ostrich eggs in order to grow them.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that was my understanding too, and I'm pretty sure even now it's a lot of those things that just can't be recreated by science. We just can't recreate the female, the womb, to or in that case, as you're describing a the inside of an egg and what actually goes on for that embryo to be able to come to maturity and bust out.
Well, I was reading recently about, you know, how it was a thing about the thylacine and how they were trying to want to potentially clone it to bring it back. And the biggest problem with some of these animals that have gone extinct that they would want to bring back is just closeness of species. So in, for example, Maisie cloning herself, humans never went extinct, so of course all she has to do is artificially inseminate the embryo back into her own body. The problem with, like, say, a mammoth is there's no mammoths around anymore, so you would have to find a close relative. They would potentially use, for example, an Asian elephant to create, and I believe that might have actually been how they did the pygmy elephant in the novel. If I remember correctly, it was just a regular pygmy elephant that they had genetically stunted the growth to and grew within a separate pygmy elephant. And there were things had like constant health issues, and Hammond was constantly worried about it dying before they could grow another one. And in the case of a thylacine with the Tasmanian tiger, there was nothing like it still alive. It was a marsupial, a carnivorous marsupial that was kind of, well, cat-shaped in a way. And there's just like, how would you grow one? There's nothing like it still alive. I mean, a possum maybe, but it's not really relatively closely related. And it was they were saying that was the biggest hang-up with growing a artificial. Now, of course, I was growing it with in something that is closely related. Now, of course, with dinosaurs, birds are dinosaurs, so in Jurassic Park's loose rules on genetics, it's viable. I'm not so sure how viable it would be in real life, but yeah.
Well, then you look at something like the Spinosaur or the Baryonyx. Would it be more viable in a crocodile or an alligator egg, just because of what they sort of their environment and what sort of animals they were? Obviously, a lot different to a Velociraptor or a T-Rex, but just life finds a way. That's all you got to say. So anyway, that was a long, long story short. That we don't know a lot about the actual split. Unfortunately, at the end of this minute, Lockwood's not going to be alive much longer to be able to fill it in for us either. So it's just a shame they went down this sort of route just so we can get the animals out and Maisie to feel sorry for him and then turn around and say, well, no. But then her being a clone, even though it's injected into Charlotte, would be the only reason to explain why they look the same, because otherwise, you got to sort of do some things there where, okay, you're still using, recreating the creation of Charlotte, so you're going to use the father's sperm and the mother's egg and hope the kid comes out looking exactly the same. But I've got two kids, no, neither of them look exactly the same, so that's the miracle of life.
I think it's funny when you watch Star Wars that as careful as the Kaminoan cloners were with the genetic threat, there were still genetic variables that they could not control. For example, if you look at the hairlines on the clones, some of them have blonde hair, some of them have Jango Fett's black hair. There must be something in Jango Fett's genetic history that gives him blonde hair. And in some of his clones, it's that allele that gets triggered. And the Kaminoans aren't going to know that until the clone actually starts growing and actually starts growing hair. And it's not exactly a defect. It doesn't affect the clone's ability to fight in war. It's just a visual, something visually undesirable. And in other cases, as the clones age, some of them never went bald. Some of them completely go bald. Some of them go bald early. Some of them don't go bald at all, and it's just kind of the luck of the draw with how genetics are like that, you know?
And some get really hairy. Big beards. We should be careful there because there is a character that's appearing in the new episode or new season of The Bad Batch that also has yellow hair and was seemingly dead, so or blonde hair, I should say. So we probably shouldn't talk too much about that. But I've even heard people say that maybe there's a little bit of Papa Palp's blood put in with Django's as well. But anyway, that's a different story. So yeah, that's cloning. I won't call it cloning 101 because neither of us are experts. But from what we understand, what we know, what we've heard, I don't think it's as unholy. We've brought up Dolly the sheep before. That was an early 90s thing, wasn't it? That was like 94, 93, 94, wasn't it? Or maybe a little bit later.
Yeah, it was early 90s. I'm not exactly sure the time. I want to say it might have been even late 80s. I do know that the clone was deeply like the like Hammond's. It was 1996
Oh,
they
yeah.
did it and died in 2003. And like Hammond's elephant, the clone was deeply sickly. It was not a great way for this animal to live. They would have been better off. If you're thinking about cloning your pets, trust me, you're just better off buying a new one.
Well, yeah, that's all the praise and wowee of him cloning that elephant. Nothing's ever said of what happened to that elephant. The fact, yeah, what would have happened to it later on, in the early days of cloning. But yeah, so once again, Crichton was on the pulse there. I'm sure there was articles, news journals, that sort of thing that was done on cloning earlier, which was why he went with this idea for cloning dinosaurs and the greed and controlling nature sort of aspect. But we've talked a lot about that. So, Dave, how about we get it to minute 71?
All right, sounds good.
Did you really think you could get away with it? In my own house.
You entrusted me to guide your fortune into the future. I have done that.
Damn you!
Alright, minute 71 of Fallen Kingdom opens with the Rex being locked up and ends with Mills giving us more backstory we'll never know about. As we continue into minute 71, the Rex has moved into her cage and she roars.
Yeah.
We get a bit of a camera pan here over the containment area as we get Lockwood's voiceover start to speak. Anything on the Rex being captured here?
She is not a happy camper.
No. Also, any tranquilizers that may still be in her system are probably pretty much all but gone now. She's had something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
She's been electrocuted, shock prod to heap of times, so she is now fully awake. As for Lockwood's voiceover, did you really think you could get away with it in my own house? Many a son has heard that from his father over the years, I could imagine. for various things, from stealing food and out of the fridge to maybe bringing a girlfriend home quietly one night, or stealing something anyway, taking the car. Mills is sitting on the edge of the bed here with his head bowed. Reminds me of a sniveling underling that's being caught
and
with his hand in the cookie jar.
Caught and convicted.
Yep. Mills says, you entrusted me to guide your fortune into the future, and I've done that. And we get a great, damn you, out of Cromwell here. Just, he might be old, but he's still got a good set of lungs on him and can just get that line out with just power and gravitas. And then he thinks for a moment and tells Mills to pick up the phone. I want you to call the police. It'll be easier if the story comes from you. Which, at the time, I was thinking, as if the police are going to believe the story because, forgetting, obviously, that Nublar was known about, but all this been in secret. Would you call the police? Yes, they've got jurisdiction over the area, but this seems like a bigger importing endangered wildlife, dangerous endangered wildlife into California. State police, federal police, FBI, not ATF, definitely parks and whatever.
Something.
But I'm sure, yeah, maybe just, okay, it starts with the police and then they've got to call in more and more people. And I know Lockwood doesn't think that Mills is violent or will kill him to protect his treachery, but wouldn't you leave a message with Iris or someone else saying, hey, if you don't hear from me in 10 minutes, call the cops. He's just a caring old man that can't see the evil in people. Because Mills slowly gets to his feet and says, if you say so, sir. And walks towards the handheld phone sitting on a cushion nearby. And we start to get that tense music play, which almost has that four-beat drums from The Lost World. Sort of that boom, boom, boom that we get when when Malcolm and that are walking into the worker village. Just a great little bit of score there, just building up what we're about to see. Because Mill picks up the phone and tells Lockwood that he's been thinking, John Hammond was right, it was an unholy thing you did. And he puts the phone back down and just picks up the cushion by itself and turns. And we talked a little bit about this backstory before, but at this point in 2018, we assume that it was Lockwood wanting to clone humans. At this point too, or by the end of the film, we think the Maisie's a clone. She says the animals are like her and lets them free, but yeah, then Dominion brings in Charlotte, so it adds a whole new can of worms as well. But it's sort of, again, the route that the films took with InGen and why Jurassic Park exists, making things muddy. The novel, of course, we've discussed. InGen wanted to push the profits. We've built this technology. We've created these animals. We need to make money off this sort of stuff. And InGen in the films would have been with Lockwood and not Hammond. Unfortunately, at that point in time, they didn't have the courage, the strength, whatever, to do what they've done in The Lost World, where Ludlow's come in and said, well, no, we're doing this. Hammond, you're out. And booting him aside and just going and doing what they want to for profit. But as the minute ends, he tells Lockwood, I'm not the only guilty one here, am I, sir? It's just a shame that Mills sort of baby faces. No, there's no fear that I feel from him. And even though he is going to put that pillow, that cushion on Lockwood's head in a minute and suffocate him, it's not something you'd expect from that character. We can talk about it next minute, but just what would happen if he did answer the phone or make the call to the police. Unfortunately, sadly, whatever, 2018, rich little white guy with lots of money probably would have been able to buy himself out of prison in the end of the day anyway. I think murder one is probably more of a jailable offence than bringing dinosaurs to mainland.
I mean, but the feds do get pretty serious about their animal trafficking.
Yeah, true. And they, T-Rex is going to do a lot more damage than a alligator or a Burmese python or something. But, and just look at Florida and look at all the snakes that are roaming around down there because they've been imported as pets and let free in the bayous and that. But that's it for 71, Dave. I think we've discussed that pretty well. How about we get out for the week?
Sounds good.